Something terrible can happen to you, and yet, the day after this something terrible, the sun still rises, and life does go on, and therefore, so must you, is a quote by comedian Martin Short. In today's episode, we're going to talk about the holidays and grief. Welcome back to Free to Just Be, the podcast ripping out those matrix attachments so humanity can take their power back. And this is the hippie freak of the South sending love, light, prayer, and high, high vibrations in your direction. I hope my voice finds you in great health with vibrant energy today and every day. And if my content resonates with y'all, please subscribe, like, review, and share to get the message of freedom out there. And I would really appreciate it if you left a comment or a view on Spotify's platform, if that's where you listen to me, because now you can go ahead and rate on Spotify. So I would sure appreciate it if you did so. Yes, something terrible has happened to all of us, hasn't it? There's been a couple of years of terrible things happening to humanity. And that's what I want to talk about today. How are we coping with all that's happening in humanity? This last week, we lost three other people in my circle of friends. And statistics say that over 800,000 people have already died from this plandemic. We've already discussed how the deep state and all the cronies involved have a massive reset plan to wipe humanity almost completely off the planet so that their selfish asses could greedily suck up all the resources and everything else from us, including adrenochrome from terrified children. Oh yes, we have had something terrible happen to us, have we not? And I know, especially at Christmas time, having a funeral during the Christmas season is the worst. Especially if it's a loved one who loved Christmas. I can relate to this because I still, as I'm speaking of it, I can still, well over 40 years later, remember when my dad died. I was 13 years old. I had never heard him say the words, "I love you," to me. And he was a good man, don't get me wrong. And I know he loved me, but that was something that I never heard him say. And when he suddenly died on January 21st, it was just after Christmas. I had never been to a funeral before. It was my very first funeral. And he was a police officer for 27 years. And there was a full police escort from the funeral home to the graveyard, and we circled our house three times, a long, long, long row of cars. It was the most traumatic experience I think I have ever been through. And what made it worse was my dad was Mr. Christmas. My dad loved Christmas so much that we were the family that had the loudspeaker outside of our house every year when I was growing up. And he would play a continual lineup of Christmas carols out of that speaker every year. That's how much my dad loved Christmas. He was the decorator. My mom bought him a pin that he wore on his shirt every year that said, "Bah humbug." Because, oh, he would be cranky, but oh my goodness, how he would decorate. How he would painstakingly put up every light and every ornament on our tree. He just made it magical. So imagine my grief all over again the year after he died when Christmas rolled in. And my mom, out of honor of my dad, is what she told me, decided not to celebrate Christmas, not to put any decorations up. Now, as a grown-ass woman, I understand fully now that my mom was probably in such grief still over my dad leaving the planet that the thought of putting up Christmas, which was his favorite time of year, was just too overwhelming. And I understood that, but I took it as like an assault on my dad's memory and on Christmas itself. And I remember the next year, when I was 15, I insisted to my mom that we put up the Christmas decorations. And I remember going up to the attic and pulling out that infamous Tide detergent box that held the manger and bringing all the Christmas decorations and baubles down and opening them up and finding in the Christmas tree box a literal diagram for how to place the Christmas lights on the tree. Because you see, my dad had finally perfected, he wanted to be able to replicate what he thought was the best decorated tree. And so he made a map on how to put those lights up. That's how much my dad loved Christmas. And even now, at 60 years old, those are painful, but yet at the same time, bittersweet memories of my daddy. And I know this week we've had a member of our group pass, one of the groups that I participate in. And I can't imagine how her children and grandchildren feel not having Miss Donna in their world this Christmas. I think about all those that are grieving around the world that have lost people this entire year. I think about the people that are going to have empty chairs at Christmas. And I think about people that can't visit loved ones in the hospital this year because of man-made rules, regulations, and mandates that should never be in place that we have allowed. And then we have that grief, the grief and reality of the things that we have allowed in our lives, the things not said to those people that we loved, the things not done. I'm struggling to put this episode out today because the weight of humanity is so very heavy on my heart this morning. But press on, I must. And one of the most important items that I want to bring to the forefront of today's episode is a quote by Rumi, which says this: grief can be the garden of compassion if you keep your heart open through everything. Your pain can become your greatest ally in your life's search for love and wisdom. We don't often take that aspect when the terrible comes into our life, do we? We don't think of terrible things being placed in our path on this journey called life. Terrible doesn't seem like it's beneficial. Terrible doesn't seem like it's going to cause a great lesson or great things to come of it. When we're in the middle of it, all we can think about is, how can the world go on? How can the world go on? I remember another memory. I remember my son coming home from Afghanistan. And It's only now, 5 years later, that we're hearing little tidbits of what he went through. But at that time he came home, and he had missed the birth of his first child, his first daughter. And he came home from Afghanistan, and I just recently, this last week, as I was looking for another picture, came upon a picture of my son holding his infant daughter for the first time. And he absolutely looked shell-shocked. It was as if he was in a different place, because he was. And in talking to him in recent days, it was as if he left something so horrendous and had thoughts in his head that he wanted to forget forever that kept repeating. And then he came back to quote-unquote normalcy, where everybody was smiling and laughing and expecting him to smile and laugh too, but he was in such grief and such PTSD mode that life couldn't go on for him for a while. So my heart is heavy today for all those vets, for all those vets that were shell-shocked when Biden pulled us out of Afghanistan. And we're thinking, did we go through that all for nothing? Oh, we have seen terrible things happen, have we not, humanity? How about all the job losses? How about all the careers that have been thwarted because of mandates? How about the mass evacuations out of cities that mayhaps you have lived your whole life, but you felt it was time to go and pull out and make a new way because you couldn't withstand all the blue city rules and regulations, and you wanted to breathe again. And the hippie freak of the South is here to tell you that there is light at the end of the tunnel. And grief is, I can't say it's a temporary condition. Because when someone you love leaves the planet, you're never the same. You will always have that grief with you, because you will always miss them and you'll think of those memories. But it does turn. It turns around into something loving and tender. And the memory always stays with you, especially at Christmas time, as you think about how that loved one would be in the present day. Some grief is harder to get over. Some are grievous because of their own choices and their own actions. And maybe somebody left the planet and you were angry with them, and you were divided in your spirit. Maybe you hadn't seen that person in years, and you'd meant to go and make amends and forgive them or what have you, but you didn't. And then they leave the planet, and you're broken. I think of my own mother, who I found out was sick. And when we got the word that she was very sick, that I should come, I wanted to leave immediately. But I was in my last marriage, very, very controlled, and I was told, no, you can't go on the first flight. And because I was so codependent and so unable to make correct choices back then, I chose to listen to my then husband, and I didn't go at the first call. I went the next morning. And when I arrived at the JFK airport to be picked up by my siblings, I was told there in the airport that my mom had already passed. So yes, humanity, as I collapsed on that airport floor, I still, to this day, feel the sting of that choice. But life does continue. And we live and we learn and we always come through. For you see, you can't go around the terrible. You can't go under or over the terrible. Just like the joyful, we have been put in these human containers, multidimensional beings having a human experience, and human experiences are made to go through, not to bypass or delete. We have to go through, and we have to feel. And that is the program that they always try to keep us from, going through and feeling. We have been programmed to avoid. We have been programmed to medicate. And therefore, we can avoid and stuff things down. And that is to our own demise, because what that does is creates illness in our bodies, because we were never meant to hold balls of feelings, which are nothing more than energy. And energy not expressed remains and continues to build up. And that's where illness and dis-ease. For you see, God created us to be at ease, to use our emotions as our guidepost. Allow yourself the TLC. TLC yourself if you're in the midst of going through the terrible. And right now, our entire family of human beings around the planet, in one way, shape, or form or another, we are all experiencing the terrible. And I wanted to come out on today's episode and remind us all that we are not alone. We have never been alone. We are all going through this together as one big united family of human beings. We are one human race. And I am extending out love and light and prayer around the world right now. In the name of our mighty Creator God. And I am here to remind you to continue to look to the light, to continue to look at your source, to continue to go inside as you grieve. And I want to make a blanket statement to everybody that is going to have Christmas gatherings this Christmas. Please, please, please be uber sensitive to those around you. Honor each other's sovereignty and divinity. Be ever so grateful and thankful for every person that you're around this Christmas season. Not only from your inner circle of those you most love, but every personal interaction you have, even with the store clerks, even with waiters or waitresses, or people at the airport. For you never know when your time will be up. We are here to not only just, quote unquote, get through the journey. Oh no, we are here to thrive through the journey. We are here to shine our everlasting, unquenchable lights that have been so broken and so programmed and so full of false beliefs. We are here to uncover that, and Christmas is the best time to do so. Christmas is the time to say the I'm sorries. Please forgive me. Christmas is the time to hug others and say I'm so sorry that I have created a divide in our relationship. Christmas is the time to allow the light of Christ to shine on everything about you. It can be done. And so those of you hosting this Christmas, be mindful of the atmosphere we are wired to feel the emotion before it even comes out of people's mouths, are we not? Do you not feel those hairs on the back of your neck rise up when you sense that there's conflict coming in the room? Be the peacemaker this Christmas. Allow for people to grieve. Allow for people to spew a little bit. Don't snap back. You don't have to make a retort every time. When in doubt, don't. You're not sure what to say, or you immediately feel a reaction, then you are being triggered yourself. So back up. Give people the liberty to feel. Allow the tears to come, even if it feels incredibly awkward and uncomfortable. Allow people to hug on you. Because they may have been longing to do so for a long time. So keep your hearts open this Christmas, humanity. Keep your hearts open. And not only will you get through the terrible, you will begin to see and feel the terrific, the magnanimous, the magnificent spirit of the living Christ, because he is alive and well in all of us. And he longs to be the one in the forefront. Oh, they love to spew out all those negative numbers, don't they? Oh, they love to tell us that it's going to be a dark, dark winter. Oh, they love to continue to just repeat and repeat and rewind the terrible, the terrible, the terrible. And of course, it has to come on the heels of the greatest event that ever happened on the planet, other than when he willingly laid down on the cross, had his nails and feet, or his hands and feet nailed to the tree. But this is the time of year we think about his coming. And I'm here to remind you, as the hippie freak of the South, that he has never left us. For when he ascended into heaven, and ascension is what is going to happen to us as well. So use this holiday time to ascend your own vibrations, to rise up in your spirit and negate the things that are happening in your flesh. All of the negative, all of the grief, all of the anger, all of the bewilderment, the overwhelm, all of it is just energy. Emotions are just energy. Remind yourself of that. I am safe and protected. I'm protected and safe. If God be for me, who can be against me? My God is able to do exceedingly abundantly, far above all I could ask, according to the power that works within me. And humanity, I'm reminding you today, it is working. Whether we can see it or not, it is working. Think for a minute with me as we come upon Christmas Eve. The terrible that Mary and Joseph was experiencing 2,000 plus years ago. This young couple, they don't know exactly how old they were. It's all just guesswork, but I imagine it was somewhere between 15 and 17. And they were engaged and they were in love. And now it can be viewed as a terrible thing. But here comes the angel and says, you're going to be with child. And she's like, I've never even been with a man. How could this be? Well, the Holy Spirit's going to come on you, she was told. And this humble, incredibly courageous woman said, yes, I will do that. Now, imagine with me the stigmatism. Her husband Joseph could have legally divorced her at that point. They were not even married yet, but they had a year-long wait. And then, of course, the marriage would be consummated. But now, here, the woman that he loves is telling him, I'm going to be real big and heavy with child here before you know it. And he had to trust that what she was telling him was true. And he had a choice to divorce her legally or to even have her stoned because she was quote-unquote unfaithful. Imagine all the gossip, all the stares, all the whispers behind their back for 9 months. You want to talk about terrible? Terrible surrounded the entry on this planet of the most beautiful, the absolute best gift that anybody could receive, was surrounded by the terrible, by grievous gossip, backstabbing, fingers pointing, judgment, guilt, shame, all of those things that we're familiar with is how our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ entered the world. And then what did he do? He walked the planet, continuing to shine his light out, no matter what we as humanity did to him. He is the living example of how to walk through and come out holy, righteous, and shining for the world to see. You and I have that same power in us. And we are blessed to be able to do the same. Yes, it hurts. Yes, it's painful. Yes, it's probably the most difficult things that we have to do. But let's remind ourselves that we have not been nailed on a tree. We have not been cursed and mocked and whipped. We have not been turned away like our Heavenly Father was. And think about it. The 3-in-1, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He sends basically himself down in human form, knowing that he would die, and yet he did it anyway, didn't he? And then because he knows just how off track we human beings get, before he left us the Holy Spirit to guide and direct our paths, did he not? And that Spirit is alive and well inside of you. And if you are grieving and full of sorrow this Christmas season, I challenge you to go inside and tap in to that wonderful and glorious light. Grief is hardcore, especially at the holidays. And now I'm going to read a scripture out of Romans 8:35-39, to encourage us during this Christmas season, to remind us in the midst of this pre-planned terrible that they think is going to break our spirits. I'm crying out to you, humanity, rise up. Rise up from the ashes. Rise up like the phoenix. Rise up and greet the Son of God and celebrate his birth. Celebrate, humanity, even in the midst of your sorrow and your grief. Celebrate that the sun came. Celebrate every morning as the sun comes up. That is a sure sign of his faithfulness. 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. Oh, are they not pushing death on us? Death, death, death. And if it's not the fear of death, it's literally the death of our loved ones. These people are murderous, vile, evil entities. and we are in the biggest battle of good and evil of the history of humanity. But what does it say? We face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Oh, that's what they think we are. But let's go further. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. People, get ready. God will not be mocked. No one knows when he will come, but he will not permit the heinous acts of murder and the vile use of our children much longer. So you stand up and remember that you are a conqueror. You are conquerors. And you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. You can. You will. You must. You must stand. You must rise up. And I thank you for putting up with my... Look, grief and sadness is not a sign of weakness. In fact, it is a sign of strength. And every tear is collected in his bottle, isn't it? So I want to close today's episode with a prayer for humanity. A Christmas prayer for humanity. God, this morning I lift up my family with all their extended blood and relational people, our circles of influence, those who have been in our lives and those who have had their ripple effect on us, and those that we have touched. We need you more than ever, God. This battle of good and evil has had and will continue to take out many of our loved ones. Division, isolation, sickness, and death has come in like a raging storm, God. We begin to believe that we're out in these tumultuous winds, naked and alone. Forgive our unbelief, dear Father. Forgive our tendency to turn us back to fear and worry. Help us rise up from our grief, for there will be many to help, many who will need our strength, need to remember that you are still on the throne. Send us out, dear God. Full up with your goodness and love to tell as many as possible of your promises, your gift of eternal life. Keep us shining, Lord. Help us be the beacons in this dark time in history. Let us be the ones that light up. Let us be the ones that light up those around us. Please, Lord, let us send us out full with your goodness and love to tell as many as possible of your promises, your gift of eternal life. Keep us shining, Lord, and help us to be the beacons in this dark time and show people the way back to our source, our life, our Creator God. Give us each our very own Bible verse to cling to hold fast to repeat to ourselves as we grieve and help and pick ourselves up over and over again. Always remembering each moment is a gift, God, a gift of choice to decide just how we will proceed in this time of utter attack. May we have your guidance each moment and our spiritual ears open and quiet enough to receive your guidance. Cover each grieving member with your precious balm of comfort, the balm of Gilead, God. And come, dear Jesus, come and deal with this barren, cold, dark, malicious evil from among us. And united, God, we will stand against it with you. And I pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Oh, yeah, a hippie freak in the South. do you realize that all the people that God used in the Word back in the day, they were all the rejects, all the ones that the quote-unquote world thought were outcast. And God used us all. And God is using us all. Oh, the hippie freak has her issues. But there is one issue that is absolutely the stability in my life, and that is the rock that I stand on. And if you don't know that same rock, your Creator, our God, then Christmas is one of the best times of years to meet Him, because He came to this planet as a tiny human being and walked the earth just like we do. The greatest example ever on how to navigate through terrible. So, rise up from your grief and find the terrific in this Christmas season. This is the hippie freak of the South, and I love you, humanity, and I wish you, in spite of the circumstances, because circumstances are indeed temporary, in spite of our terrible circumstances currently in history, I wish you the merriest, merriest Christmas ever. Peace out.